Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JAS call on Friday, the 1st of July. We have Rafik Damak, Carlton Samuels, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Carlos Aguirre, Boudouin Chombé, Alex Gakuru, Avery Doria, Eric Brunner Williams, Olivier Crépin Leblanc, Dave Kisundwayal. From staff, we have Carla Valente and myself, Gisela Gruber. And apologies today from Alan Greenberg and Evan Labovich. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Carlton.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this jazz call. It's good to have you all again together. We have posted the draft agenda. It's on the Adobe Connect room. For those of you who haven't seen it, we are proposing that we have a short discussion to confirm the timeline for the final report, to look at the Redline MR2 report, again, 10 minutes. And then we should have some conversation on what we should do in terms of the registrar support needs, and about 15 minutes. And then for the rest of the time, we have to take a decision on what we're going to do about the funding, especially what we would propose to use the $2 million fund for. So, are there any objections to this agenda being adopted as agreed?
Nope, it's fine.
I think Cheryl has spoken for everyone. Seeing that there is no objection, the agenda is adopted. Might I remind all of us, if you have SOIs or DOIs still to be completed and signed up, would you please do so? It will be most important. Thank you. So, let's look at the first agenda item. So, the first agenda item is actually coming off the board resolution from Singapore, and Carla has very kindly put it in the note space on the Adobe Connect. But let me read it for you, because it kind of drives much of what we do. Board resolution, it goes as follows, and I am quoting, a program to ensure support for applicants from developing countries with a form, structure, and processes to be determined by the board in consultation with stakeholders, including A, consideration of the GAC recommendation for a fee waiver corresponding to 76% of the $185,000 evaluation fee, B, consideration of recommendations of the ALAC and GNSO as chartering organizations of the Joint Applicant Support Jazz Working Group, C, designation of a budget of up to $2 million U.S. dollars for seed funding, and creating opportunities for other parties to provide matching funds, and D, the review of additional community feedback, advice from ALAC, and recommendations from the GNSO following their receipt of a final report from the Jazz Working Group, requested in time to allow staff to develop an implementation plan for the board's consideration at the October 2011 meeting in Dakar, Senegal, with the goal of having a sustainable applicant support system in place before the opening of the application window. So, that resolution constrains the timeline for the final report. We are then proposing, Rafik pointed out that if we are going to make that timeline, including the GNSO approval timeline, which has to happen by the 8th of September, which is the large GNSO council meeting before Dakar, and we have to give the GNSO in practice 2 weeks, I think, before their council meeting any piece of work that we expect them to put up. It gives us until the end of August, practically, to have a final report. Does everyone agree with this timeline?
Yeah, Carlton, could you repeat? So the GENESO meeting is September 4th, which means that the final report must be ready by?
Well, I understand it's the 8th of September. So Rafik has his hand up. I mean, Rafik, probably you could clarify the GENESO side of things for us.
Thank you. So, in Singapore, during the wrap-up session of the GENESO Council Health discussion about the timeline for the Jazz Working Group in order to meet the board request. So, in the GENESO Council Health calls every 3 weeks. But for a motion to be adopted, discussed, or approved, we need to do that 8 days before the council. So how they calculate is nothing, but it's more general council. So if the we want an implementation plan to be adopted in Dakar, I think my understanding that the board needs this 2 weeks before Dakar, and then also that it means that a time for the ICANN staff to work on that, and then the best time for the GENESO Council to consider the report is the 8th September, hoping that there won't be a defer or a delay, and then we need to submit the motion with the report to be considered for approval at the end of August. So we have exactly 2 months for to work on that. I know it's not easy. I think that some people will be in vacation and holidays this summer, etc. So it's challenging, but I think we can do it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Rafik. Are there any other considerations that might be raised here?
Yeah, this is Carla speaking. So we have the GENESO meeting on September 8th, which means that the GENESO has to have the report in hand 2 weeks in advance. Was that what Rafik mentioned?
Surely not.
Well, it's at least a week.
1 week in advance, okay.
Yes, that's my understanding of it. Eric has raised his hand. Eric, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you. Carla, were you finished?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The September 8th GENESO meeting with 8 days in advance, so that's September 1st. So we have basically July and August, a total of 8 weeks. 8 weeks is sufficient to get work done, but it also means that if that's a final report, that we have no opportunity after the 1st of September to improve our work product. And the actual application open date is not until, the 12th of January. So that's approximately 2 weeks deep into January, plus 4 weeks of December, 4 weeks of November, 4 weeks of... So we're basically getting something done and then not having an opportunity to improve it for about four times that amount of time. So I think whatever we provide, it could be better presented as a first version of a final rather than a last version of a final. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Avery, you have your hand up. You're next.
Thank you. You, when you were talking about documents on the list, you were talking about a final report, and then you were talking about this companion document that was the actual instantiation, implementation of this program where we would work with staff and however. So I'm wondering whether if the final report restricts itself to the well-fleshed-out proposals. At the moment, there's still, in the milestone reports, there's still open issues. But so it closes those, it makes decisions on recommendation, there will be an X that does that, but doesn't get into the detail of, you know, how that plan is put together by January 12th. And then afterwards, the group continues working on that. The final report has gone. There could be a draft of that other thing or not. But I think it's actually important that we get the final report, which is the implementation recommendation done on the board schedule. Even if the work to produce the implementation of that thing itself takes longer. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery.
Okay,
Eric, I see you have, you want to speak again?
Yeah, thank you. Very good point, Avery. Actually, what we ought to know is assuming that a policy, we don't do policy, we just do implementation. Well, in any event, let's call it policy. Assuming that the policy document is completed by September 1st to the GNSO and the ALAC at that date for their respective approvals, and it's approved by them prior to the board meeting at the end of October, which is almost 2 months later, there's still the implementation work. And for that, what we need to have, I think, is the board schedule from Dakar on to into the month, to the end of December. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. So I think we have a consensus that we are going to have the board schedule final report to fit in with this timeline by the end of August. But there is another document that we are going to continue to have some play with, and that is the document where we call the need assessed guidebook, which I call the NAG. This is a document that has to be provided for the public to give them step by step, just like the DAG, about how to go through. I see Avery say that she hates the word NAG, and I just call it that, Avery. Don't let not your heart be troubled. So we are all agreed, we are all understanding that these are two separate documents. The first document, the final report, which is the one we have to work on now to complete, starting with MR2. And then we will have this guidebook, which is going to be most of the final report reformatted, reconfigured to look pretty much like the DAG. So I guess we all understand that this is what we're working with, and that need not be ready for August, but definitely should be fairly well done, put together by the car. That's where we are with this. So we're all agreed on that. Are you all still with me on this?
Yep.
Thank you, Eric. We just raised our hand.
Yeah, I've got a quick question.
Yes.
Does fairly well along, or whatever phrase you used with that secondary document, the Crone document, by
you
the car mean that there's a draft of it by then, or does it mean that you think that one should be final by then? If you mean that there should be a first draft of that one by then, I think that's a great goal. If you think it's done by then, I think that extra month wouldn't necessarily be, you know, enough to get that done. But certainly to have a good draft of the Crone document would be great. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. No, that's what I meant, to have a good draft. When I said fairly well along, I mean to have a good draft. I don't mean that it is going to be a finished product. Andrew and then Eric.
Yes, quick question for you. I'm sorry, maybe I'm lost in the pronouns, but by which document, by when draft? Avery, what were you thinking?
No, let me explain it.
I was thinking that the nagging document, the second document, is the one that had to have a draft by the car, whereas the final document was the one that had to be delivered a month before that.
Are you okay with that now, Andrew? Andrew? He's gone. Eric, can you go ahead, please? And we have to move on with this.
Sure. Thank you very much, Carlton. The application window opens on the 12th, and it closes either 30 or 90 days later. I've forgotten which it is. Someone can tell me. The implementation of support actually is going to take longer than any particular near-term event. So I think that we actually need to think about coordinating with a longer-term board schedule on implementation issues that arise out of the third recommendation. So that's all I really had to say, is that the timeline for implementation is actually longer than the 12th of January. It extends into 2012. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. I think that is understood, unless somebody raises an issue. Andrew, are you back with us? Do you want to say something else? This is going to be the final one in that document.
No, sorry. I had my hand still up. Apologies.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So, all right. We are pretty much clear on that. Can we move to the second topic, which is the MR2 report? As members will remember, we have all agreed that the document needs to be fleshed out in certain areas. We've also agreed that the document as presented principally covered the work of qualifications group, which is a subgroup one, and that is to say it has established a criteria, and there is some sense of there's a proto-mechanism that is being defined in that document. Some work needs to be done. The issues about financial donors and funding is still pretty much out. In-kind services, Elaine has done some work there. We've seen the work that Elaine has done. It has not got much of our comments on the list. And then we have the final one, which is the subgroup 4 for ID and support, and we are still waiting for much more work in this area as well. Does anyone need? I see Andrew has his hand up. Does anyone need anything else on this issue, Andrew?
Yes, Carlton. A question for the group, actually. Carlton, you mentioned that the question of fundraising has been put to one side. Is that a done deal? The reason I ask is because I was approached by a board member who's going to be in Washington later this summer with the thought that that they might go to the World Bank and to other donor sources to look for matching funds for the fund that the $2 million fund that was contributed, and was asking questions about what we'd done so far. And I mentioned some of the conversations that I'd had and some of the notes from the conversations that Avery has had, so much as I know them. And I don't know, I mean, have we made a policy decision that's off the table for us to participate in, or are we in that? And if so, what are people's thoughts about, you know, how that would play itself out over the summer?
I don't think we're done with that at all, Andrew. What I've just mentioned is those are still outstanding issues. But Cheryl has her hand up. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Carlton. Cheryl Langdon, all for the record. In response to your issue there, Andrew, I think what we can do is write into our draft report something that accounts for the probability of matching funds and utilise very generic language with any recommendation we make on what we believe the funds would be best applied to and how. I think as a sidebar, it would be appropriate for that work group involved in those issues to look at how effective such choices would be. In other words, we could be advising the people who are knocking on the doors and interacting with the potential additional top-up funders so that they have clear advice or at least strong suggestions from the work group that says if we are going to implement this type of program with such funds, the bucket needs to be this much bigger than $2 million versus this much bigger than $2 million for some other purpose. So I would like to think that's something we'd still be actively involved with. But we also don't want to have too many people knocking on the same door, so I think there needs to be a coordinated effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. As a matter of fact, that is one of the items on this agenda because I thought it was important to raise it now and probably get some heads going about this. So we're going to come to that in another few minutes, actually. Andrew, you've raised your hand again. Is this it's about the fund? Can we defer the question or the comment until we get to that?
Perfect. Will do.
Thank you, sir. So, I don't see anybody else raising an issue with what we think needs to be done on MR2 to finalize it to get to a decent final report. So, I'm assuming that we are all agreed on where the holes are. And we have a list of persons who are going to lead in terms of filling these holes. We have them up in the note page on Adobe Room. For those of you who might wish to familiarize yourself and can't see Adobe Room, we can always send it out again. This was sent out earlier on the list. We could then move to the next item. And I don't think we need to. Cheryl has raised her hand again. Cheryl, you have the floor.
No, that's an error. My laptop does have a life of its own sometimes. I was actually trying to type.
Not to worry. Okay. So can we then move to the next item? And this is the one about registrar support for needs assessed applicants. That this issue got some traction in Singapore and on the list. Just let me summarize what the position, what I think the emerging consensus is. There is a consensus that there would be need for registrar provider services to enable effective launch of a needs-assessed GTLD. I think there's consensus that that is going to be a requirement. The question arose as to whether or not this was a part of our charter. And the tendency was, and I use the word tendency, that the charter itself, if read let us say, Redwood is a discerning eye, seems to embrace this position. But we feel that if we are going to take it up now, it would be a distraction. While it is important, it would be a distraction to the final report. So the proposal is we defer this until after the final report. And if needs be, if members are still not satisfied that it is covered in the charter, we will go back to the chartering organizations and ask for it to be included as a matter of urgency. I hope I summarized it as best as I can, but Avery, then Eric, you are online.
Yeah, thank you. A couple things. I think in general, I sort of agree that registrar, and I think there's a third element, that the registrar services, the registrar function, is necessary, and as you said, for the launch. And the argument that I had made, I think, on the list and in conversations was that it wasn't necessary for the application. So leaving aside whether it is in charter or isn't in charter, it basically isn't a gating issue for the immediate work. One thing that we could do, whether we think it is in charter or not, is if the group has consensus on it needs to be in place by the launch, is certainly to put a recommendation in the final report saying that this needs to be there before the launch, and whether it's part of JAS or some other thing, work must be done so that schedule can be met. So I think there may be a middle position between saying it is or isn't in our charter and spending the next month fighting about whether it is or isn't in our charter with our chartering groups and everyone else. I certainly think adding a paragraph that says the group recommends that more work needs to be done on this is fine in a final report if we have consensus on it. But I think actually getting into the work of doing it in these next 4 months when it's needed for launch, which is at least a year away, if not 18 months away, when we've got such a strong application-driven set of requirements, would be misprioritization. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Eric, you have the board, sir. I see your hand up.
Thank you, Carlton. Eric Brunner-Williams for the transcript record. We are, in effect, discussing when businesses or nonprofit organizations that currently don't exist can start making revenues selling .com domains. And it's important to keep in mind that the registrar's principal stream of revenue is unlikely to be the sales of the inventory of a qualified registry some 1 to 2 years from now.
Mm.
So it is one of the defects of the vertical integration assumption that the registry is its own registrar to fail to recognize that the registrar function of that registry is probably going to make more money as a standalone business unit selling .com inventory than selling the registry's own inventory. Now, the form of registry support, given that ICANN has just increased the cost of registry application, is something that could be affected by policy today. That is, for needs qualified or for developing economies, the requirements, the fee requirements to ICANN could be reduced just as quickly as they were increased, that is, overnight. So the issue I think that we should be discussing is not when the applicant receives benefit by the existence of a registrar, but rather when do we turn on registrars which will assist the qualified applicants, and do we do so in a way that does not cripple them the most that we can imagine, which would be to turn them on the day that the registry becomes available with its inventory. So that's the point I wanted to make, is that we're actually discussing something that could be started significantly before registry sunrise, that it's really the existing legacy inventory of registry product that will be the principal source of revenue for these new entities, which are critical for our registry applicants to succeed not merely at its launch time, but to be sustainable enterprises. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Andrew, you are up next. You have the floor, sir.
Thanks, Carlton. Eric, the first part of what you said made perfect sense to me, and I think it's really smart and bears repeating realistically, unless something is very different from our assumptions, that any of these new registrars are unlikely to be financially sustainable based on the inventory that they have from new GTLDs, especially not new ones that we would support. So that makes good sense. I'll be honest, I wasn't quite sure I understood the last part of it, but what it suggests to me is that these are, as Avery said, that they're related issues, but certainly in terms of the sequencing, I think that we really should focus on the stuff that we've already got on our plate. I wonder whether, given what Eric has said about the kind of sustainability and the ability of these new registrars to sell things outside of what we're touching, I wonder whether it's something that we want to pick up at all, but I'm happy to defer that decision until later. Perhaps, Eric, you could explain the back part of what you said a little bit more, because I didn't quite follow it completely. Thank you.
Can I ask Eric to – Eric made put something on the wire on the list, which explains it very well, Andrew. I because we're time constrained here, I would just ask you to have a look at that, and if there's any other questions.
Fair enough. I'm sorry, I'm not completely caught up because of the travel.
Yeah, I figured as much. So, but he did put out something, and I think I understood. Even when I read it, I understood what he was saying. I just want to make one suggestion. Avery spoke about, you know, a middle ground, which is to say, in our final report, we mentioned the registrar issue, and point out very definitively that this is something that is a sustainability point for new GTLTs, need assessed GTLDs. I wonder if we couldn't refine it a little bit more with some of Eric's information, just for the group. Do you think that would be useful?
Yes.
Thank you, Cheryl. Avery, you've raised your hand. Can you go?
Just quickly, that strikes me as what he said, fleshed out a little bit, is what would definitely be a good thing to include as part of the final report product, with still having not jumped into the detail of how it's done.
Yes, that's what I mean. All right, I see there at least two members. Andrew has given his support for that idea as well. There being no person online saying no, I think we can make that a consensus that we will include some content about the importance of registrar capabilities for needs assessed applicants, and we will flesh it out. Perhaps I could ask Eric to take the lead on that specific area.
Sure.
When you work with the drafters.
Yep.
Thank you, Eric. All right, we have to close off this one now. We're going to move to the final item, and this one we take some substantial time because it's about the funding elements. If you recall, the subgroup two, which is the financial donors group, and that group needs to be reconstituted. I still believe that Avery would be very useful and helpful in heading that group. I'm appealing to her to rethink her position and probably join that group all over again. We have an additional item. The board in the resolution threw in $2 million as seed funding, and the question was, and Cheryl did make a very interesting, well, I think it's explanatory point earlier on in the conversation. Maybe I'll ask her to say it again to kind of start everybody off. Cheryl, you want to reprise what you said earlier on about how we might look at that fund?
Certainly. Cheryl Langdonoff for the transcript record. It won't be anywhere near as long as the first time I said it. Put simply, I think one of the things this work group should be doing is suggesting that those that are knocking on the doors and trying to seek additional top-up funds have some advice, not necessarily, you know, fully-fledged report, but some indicative advice, at least, from our work that says if we're going to do this particular thing, recommend this particular activity with these funds, then the number of dollars required is in this order of magnitude greater than the $2 million versus for some other purpose, because people seem to think $2 million is a lot of money, and of course it's not in these terms at all. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Cheryl. So, yes, I think it pretty much kind of framework what we're going to discuss here. Andrew, I see you are on the board, sir. You have the floor.
Yeah, thanks, Carlton. Okay, now is the time to talk about the fundraising outreach. So let me get to the point that I was thinking of earlier. A couple of things. I agree, Cheryl. It's well, first of all, $2 million is piddly for the size of the task that that we've got, I believe. I think it's not going to be, you know, if you think about both the internal things that we're going to need to do in terms of helping to set up the system and also any money that might actually be available to an applicant, that's going to be woefully inadequate for the task in my estimation. That said, I think it may be difficult for us to go, let's say we have a meeting with the World Bank, I think it's going to be difficult for us to say, this is exactly how much money we need, and this is exactly the way that we're going to propose to allocate it, because I just don't think we have all of that data yet. But I think based on the conversations that we've already had and the results that we've already had and the interest that other people in the ICANN community, including ICANN board, have expressed of their willingness to either go with us or on behalf of this initiative to look for funding, I think we want to get out in front of that. So with that in mind, I would like to propose that we do something like this, see if this makes sense to everyone. First of all, obviously, to the extent that we can be a part of any of these outreach efforts, some member of our working group, I think that that's beneficial so that we don't reinvent the wheel and so that we are united or at least coherent in our approach to the outside world. That would be number one. Number two is if we have these meetings that are being set up, to the extent that we can inform the group, at least as a you know, some sort of an advance warning that we're going to go out, I think if that's useful so that we get the benefit of anybody who knows of about these institutions and knows might know the people that we're meeting with and things like that. And then the third thing is that I think it will be very valuable if anybody has these meetings over the summer to try to, or for that matter, if we go forward, to report back to the group where things are, even if it's just still in the mushy stages. It'll help us. One, the things that we learn along the way will help anybody else who is trying to raise funds for the initiative. Anyway, those are my thoughts. Does that make sense to everyone?
Well, it made sense to me, Andrew. I see Avery's on the board. Avery, you have the floor. Avery?
I was doing the mute off thing. I'm not sure that I totally understand or perhaps agree. I think that, and I'm fine, you know, doing subgroup two stuff again. In fact, I've been sticking little recommended bits of writing in the middle of most of the subgroups over the last week. So that's no problem. That was something you had asked at the beginning. In terms of actually going out and fundraising, first of all, also, I want to get on the record that as a seed into a fund, there's nothing piddly about $2 million. Certainly, it isn't all that we need in a fund. I think in MR1, we put a, you know, a goal down of, you know, I forget, what was it, 10 million or 100? I forget the number, but we did have a number in MR1, and I think that the 2 million should be very much appreciated as a seed, which is what I think they called it. So it was 10 million. Okay. So as a seed and getting 20% of the way on the goal we asked for with that contribution, I really don't think we should apply the word piddly to it anywhere. It's a wonderful, generous start. And that. Now, in terms of more fundraising, I don't see that necessarily as a goal of this group. We have to define our recommendations for how a foundation might be set up, what process they should go through, and what sorts of things the fund can and should be used on, and perhaps even make recommendations about who should be outreached in terms of fundraising. I think fundraising is a wonderful activity for those of us that have contacts and can do that as a separate activity and can use, you know, the wonderful story of the seed to that fund as part of our narrative. But I really don't see it as this group's goal to actually do the fundraising, though, of course, all the people in this group that have contacts should. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. Just before I ask Andrew and then Cheryl to go, can I just point out two things? In the board resolution, it did make the case that they still need to consider the GAC waiver of fees as part of it. Might it be useful for this group to consider, and because of the funding and the, what we think is the shortage of funds, might it be useful for us to consider and endorse a fee waiver fully to say that, well, with this fund plus a fee waiver, we might get more people under the tent? That's the first question. The second question that you might take into consideration, recall at Singapore, Dennis Jennings made the case that there are foundations, there are existing foundations that have well-defined funding and relationships and application support processes that it might be useful for us to have a go at. And we thought it would be a good exercise if we had some staff support to do this research. Is that still viable? Those are the two questions I want to ask as you think about this. Back to the board now. Andrew, you are up, then Cheryl and Avery again. So, Andrew.
Sure. Thanks, Calvin. In response to Avery, I want to clarify my choice of word may or may not be particularly important in this one. I think that the amount of money is piddly. When I heard the announcement in the context of the larger ICANN budget and discussions about the amount of money that was spent on travel and all these other things, it felt like a very small number to me, especially given the size of our task. That is not on any level to suggest that I think anybody in the working group doesn't think that it's important and doesn't think that it's appreciated, quite the contrary. I just thought in the scheme of things it's a pretty small number given the size of ICANN and its budget. I think it's absolutely essential to have some seed funds if you want to get any donor, because one of the first questions asked is always what skin in the game does the sponsoring organization have? So I couldn't agree more that that's important. Carlton, to your point, I think that the fact that we have that the sustainability package for this has and must be the combination of funds raised and price and fee adjustments, no question about it. I think that we should continue to make that case so that it doesn't get lost on any level. In terms of whether or not the fundraising is central to our group, that's a tough one. I think that we're going to strengthen our case an awful lot and make it more likely, put ourselves much more in position to have a lot of our recommendations taken seriously if the realer this all feels and becomes. And certainly if we can raise some additional capital, that's going to make that more possible. So, you know, it may be that this is something that we have to do on the side either way. I think it's likely to make us more successful with the rest of the things that we're trying to do. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you, Carlton. Cheryl Langdon for the transcript record. Let me start first of all by saying I will try and interpret the incredibly bad number of typographical errors I put into the chat, so you might all be able to understand what I was on about, but I'll come back to that and answer your two questions first. Carlton, I agree 100% with Andrew on the first part and that question. Yes, I think it would strengthen greatly if in our report we work on a hybridisation, that a reduction of the fee in line with the GAC recommendation means that we can do far more meaningful assistance to obviously a greater number of appropriately qualified applicants. So that first thing is definitely a yes. On the second one, I didn't understand your question as well as I might. As I understood what Dennis was saying, we could look at this two ways, and we could look at it from a work group point of view, or we could look at it from an ICANN point of view, and I'm preferring to the latter, that it should be an ICANN point of view. First of all, in terms of recommendations that we as the work group might make for models of foundations, etc., obviously getting something that's boilerplated, tested and operational as an example or a sample is clearly an advantage, and I think we should be looking to those types of organisations to see exactly how they do this type of funding to propose well-tested models rather than try and create some interesting new wheel with bumpy edges that we might in fact come up with, particularly in the short period of time. As to the do we go to such funding bodies to seek out some of the top-up funds or additional income that we know we all desire to make this work, I am less convinced that needs to be a function of the work group than I am it needs to be a function of ICANN. I would think that if we find highly likely and probable sources that in our report we recommend them as highly likely and probable sources, but informally and in the back channels we make sure that they're properly pursued by whoever's task it is in ICANN to make sure that there is a coordinated, highly efficient and professional approach to seeking these additional top-up funds. I don't believe it is the place of the work group to do this. I think it would be distracting if we have me knocking on someone's door at the same time as someone tasked from an ICANN head office somewhere around the world to do the same thing. I think it would be extremely useful to make sure whoever has the coordination role for negotiating, giving the details and actually getting whatever contractual relationships are required sorted out with potential additional top-up funders needs to be available to us and be always a liaison with us, and that we should have their name and contact available for when we trip over someone with a very large purse of money in a restaurant one night. This is not to say that we shouldn't be out there using our own resources, but I think it is something that needs to be very carefully coordinated, and certainly not anyway a disparate sort of view. I'm sure we can all do some of the softening up, but we need a single and I think very well identified name or small set of names in ICANN to do the actual dealing. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Just to mention the relationship to the Dennis Jennings comment, I think you've just clarified what I intended to say. I just intended it should be some staff effort on that side. Avery, you're next up.
Okay, yeah, I totally agree that existing funding models should be what we use as opposed to trying to invent the wheel. I also agree that, you know, reaching out where we know someone, I think we have to be careful in terms of how much we say. I know in the efforts that I've been talking to people about, until they've gotten the agreement of their boards and their oversight and their this and their budget, these are not things that they're ready to have spoken of all that openly. So, you know, that's one reason why I think, you know, we should stay out of it. We should certainly turn, you know, I just say we should recommend that there be somebody at that higher, two, three names, whatever it is, doing this work, and we should certainly turn over whatever leads we have to them when they start working and so on. And I wish that the board starting to put together its foundation fund supergroup, you know, didn't have to wait for our final report to get the mechanisms rolling, but, you know, that's beside the point. On the fee reduction, I think that, you know, this group has had, at least in the past, a consensus that there must be fee reductions. I think using the fund as a possible supplement to those fee reductions for some particular designated group or according to some particularly designated conditions to get to the GAC's recommendation of, you know, applicants from least developed countries being able to achieve 100% reduction is a good idea, but I think we should be careful to not make the one dependent on another, that we should be absolute about the recommendation that any and all JAS qualified applicants get the initial you know, I guess it's 86 or 87 reduction, and that then further reductions can be, you know, obtained, applied for, however we want to put it, but not commingle the two in that way. Thanks.
Okay, so that's one way of looking at it, Avery. Thank you. Can we go to Eric? By the way, we have another 8 minutes on this call, so and then we have Rafiq after Eric.
Thank you, Carlton. I think I just put what I wanted to say into the chat, so I don't need to take time repeating it.
Okay. Well, what Eric said in the chat is that we should recommend a policy and some implementation details as part of the response to Board Resolution 20. It is the Board's responsibility to say yay or nay, and if yay, it is Rod Beckstrom's job as Chief Executive to execute the task of initiating ICANN's fundraising partner search. That's what he said. I quite agree. Rafiq, you're up. And I see Avery and Cheryl has agreed with Eric on that one. Rafiq, you're up, sir. You're on the board.
Yeah, thank you, Carlton. What I'm just trying is to summarize what I am listening and hearing since a while, and trying to give my thoughts about that. So first, I think that we need to focus on the next 2 months on our report, and we have that red line parts that we need to work on with the data. I think that the fees issues, we have discussed about that a lot, and now with this seed funding, I think I agree with Avery about this point. I'm not sure how we can work on that. About the fundraising, it's not just the fundraising, but also looking for a possible provider of in-kind support, even there's two kind of support, but I think several people from the working group trying to use their contact, their connections, and trying to look and contact some funders or also providers. That's good, but I think that we need some, because it's ICANN, and we are also trying to contact organization, there is a need for some formalization, and I think it's good for working group members to do their best to outreach, but at the end of the day, the ICANN should have, I don't know how it it should proceed, but there's something to manage and to handle this, to contact possible funders and to handle this. But if this entity or liaison or I don't know staff exists, we can, as working group members, after outreach, to forward to ask this entity in ICANN, which handle the fundraising, that to take care of that. So that's what I think. So let's focus on our recommendations that which should be implemented by the staff later, and I think we will have to continue work after the final report, which should be about, maybe as we discussed, about the registrar issues, also communication. I'm just afraid that we are working about support applicants, but we need to have communication for those applicants in time, even if we can have prospective applicant who didn't think about at all about this program, the new GTND program, who can be contacted in the next month, and they can be eligible for the support. Thank you.
Thank you, Rafiq. I agree that we have to focus on finalizing the report. I also agree that we should have some kind of draft of content available for possible applicants. This is why I feel that by Dakar we should have what we're calling the crone, at least a first draft of a crone available with staff help. That said, Cheryl, you're on the board. You're next.
Thank you very much, Carlton. Cheryl Langdon, all for the transcript record. Agree totally. We need to get on to the work we need to get on to. But I think it's important that perhaps at this very early stage we ask as an action item on staff if Carla could make the appropriate inquiries to, I'm assuming, Kurt, that she could come back to our next meeting with the appropriate advice on the specific plans and contact points that ICANN have. In other words, who's going to be the lead and whose responsibility is it going to be to do the actual outreach and interaction with any additional capital raising for this fund. And then Rod or whoever can be anointed to do the job. This is hugely important. I've done this at a national level, and the fact that I might know someone in a major bank that is more appropriate than the general manager of an organisation who has a different layer of entree, that's something that needs to be exchanged. And then, you know, the general manager and I may go to the meeting, or I may just do the e-introduction, and they know that they're getting to the right point. I mean, there's a dozen ways to skin this. And I'd like to think anyone who can do that will do that, but we need to have a proper protocol to follow. Otherwise, it's going to be ineffectual and it'll look shabby and it just won't work. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Carla has her hand up. Carla, do you want to take the board?
Yes. Kurt is on vacation until, I think, the 11th or the 12th, and we have a meeting scheduled after that. We have an operations planning meeting on that week, and then a meeting tentatively scheduled to resolve some of those issues on the week of the 11th.
Okay.
I'm not going to be able to give you anything next week.
Sure. No, that's fine. We've got a date then. That's okay, Carla. That's fine, especially because then you can make sure it's given the appropriate time on the agenda for discussion. Not
yes.
Our agenda, the ICANN staff agenda.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But as soon as we know something, or I know something, I'll share it with you.
Thank you, Carla. Okay, folks, we are at the top of the hour. I want to just kind of pull together what we have agreed, at least my sense of what the consensus is in a couple of matters. We agree that we are going to continue to fill out the and to perfect OMR2 report in the areas that we have delineated, the areas, and we know in-kind services, financial donors group, we have those areas to work on. Avery has agreed to step back in and lead the charge on the financial donors group. Thank you, Avery, very kind of you. We've agreed that the issue of the registrar relationships and their role in sustaining needs assess applicants GTLD is critical. It's interesting. It's very important, but we will not tackle it here, save and accept that we will ensure that in our final report we make mention of that, and we are going to make some specific recommendations in that regard. Eric has the pen on that. He will help to draft that part of the report. We also have consensus on the role that we don't need to reinvent the wheel, the funding model for any foundation that is going to deal with the seed money. We will simply use one that's best of breed, and staff will take the lead in deciphering and winnowing one of those from the several that are available. We also have consensus on the fact that with regard to the funding and the use of the funds from the foundation, the seed money, plus the reduced fee, they are part of the framework, but we should not commingle them. Avery has suggested a way for us to go forward. I didn't hear any objection to it. I think we should flesh that out, Avery, and make sure everybody understands that. So I think we've made some progress here. We are going to continue to work. We are going to depend on the leaders of the subgroups that are still in play to make as much as we can for the next meeting. Time is up on us. Thank you all from Rafiq and I for joining this call. I am declaring the session closed.
Bye-bye.
See you all.
Cheers.